Technorama episode 607. We're taking control. Alt and delete, too. Hey, welcome to Technorama, or welcome back to Technorama, whatever your case may be. We will accept you either way. The admission is still the same. This is the show.
The cost is the same, right?
Right. It's half price if you've been here before. Half price and nothing is still nothing. Oh, we'd have a divide by zero error, I think.
We do a try catch, so it's okay.
We try. We never catch.
Yeah. Right.
This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time, welcome. If you're returning, welcome back. My name is Chuck Tomasi from sunny Phoenix, Arizona, and right over there is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
Oh, which way are you pointing? Is it this way?
You're right.
Anyway.
My left.
I'm doing good. How about you?
It's hot here.
Is it?
It's hot. We have that poor stray cat.
How hot is it? Yeah.
It is 112 today. This is our seasonal high. This is the highest it's been since mid-2017. So jeez. I believe we're around 45 for all those metric people. It is very warm. I feel very sorry for that poor stray cat that comes around begging for food because she's out there just finding any part of the landscaping that got watered last night and lays down in the wet dirt. It's like, poor kitty. I'm going to try and build her a little shelter or something because she is just taking it up. And she won't come inside. She won't. She's a social distance cat. But anyway, enough about cats.
Put a box out there. It's just, outside.
It's on wet ground, so the box is going to rot in about a day.
Wet.
So I've got some bricks. I'm going to make a little like quick adobe shelter kind of thing for her. We'll see how that goes.
Okay.
We'll see. Hopefully it won't turn into an oven.
Oh, guess what we're having tonight? Barbecued cat. Chinese.
No. Hey. I may have been thinking it, but you didn't have to say it. Okay. Let's get into our feedback. We have some listener feedback and we just love playing this song. So keep sending the messages.
Letters.
Oh, we get letters. Oh, we got some letters.
We get your letters every day.
Come on, where's your karaoke? Come on, Chuck.
They're already singing. It's not karaoke if someone's singing.
Good point.
I love those letters. Let's find out what you've got to say.
Oh, boy.
Mailman. Mail today.
All right. I'll see if I can find a karaoke version of that. And we'll do what we can. Yeah. I'll just get this microphone.
There is one.
Letters. But... oh, we get letters.
Yeah. Yeah, just do that on Saturday night.
People are going, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Would you like to read our email from Leon, longtime listener and Patreon person?
Yes, absolutely. So he started off by saying, hey guys, episode 604, the question of the week, TV series, Firefly, exclamation.
It's not like that episode of the IT Crowd. Fire, exclamation point.
Right. He got our, we sent out the postcards, you know, we talked about that in March. He got his and he thanked us for that.
Well, we bought them in March.
What's that?
We bought them in March. They didn't all go out. We bought them in March.
We mailed them out later. That's right. But he got his. So that's cool. So he says a week or two ago, you were talking about Dragon Con and how you were planning to be there, but you doubted, we would see Leon being a high risk person.
Yeah.
Seeing the high risk part, but okay. But anyway, he says, I understand your thinking, but at that point I hadn't decided whether I was going or not.
Don't have last to decide
month,
now.
My family. Wait a minute. So last month, my family got together for a week, at a big beach house, 24 bedrooms, two blocks from, the Wright Brothers Museum in the Outer Banks. There were about 40 of us. And, it's been 12 days since they returned home and no one's became ill. So it was a fabulous week. With that as background, I was not entirely negative on going to Dragon Con, but this week's decision has taken that all from us. So there's no Dragon Con this year, of course. And we'll all be safer now. And he says, this month in tech, and I guess his tech, He took a Raspberry Pi to the beach. He set it up with a picture frame program and loaded 50 family pictures. It was connected to one of the 70-plus inch TVs at the beach house in the great room, running all week long, I guess, so everybody could see the pictures.
That's pretty cool. Family.
Yeah, he says, I put up a web page on the Pi's Wi-Fi. Other family members could upload pictures throughout the week. They uploaded over 400 pictures.
Whew. Neat.
It was a big success. People were looking at it. Once we were at home, I put all the pictures on Google Drive and sent a link. That's very nice.
I would love
the show. Yeah. Miss you guys.
Let's share some tech. I would love to do the same thing with a Pi hooked up in like a picture frame in one of my TVs. Right now I'm using a Chromecast that ties into one of my photo frame folders on photos.google.com. And yes. I like that because it's random. Now, Apple Photos used to do this, but it would be random. Even though I had 4,000 pictures out there, it would be random within about a set of 100. Come on, a little bit wider stance here. But the Google Photos does a really good job of randomizing that. And
yeah,
if we can do that with the Pi, so it's not sequential but random, then we could have like a local store. I'm just thinking out loud. So I'd love to share some ideas of what you did with your Pi, what software you used. I was also thinking about maybe hooking up one with a webcam just to play around with that experiment, because I've got a couple of C920s here that theoretically there are projects out there that say, hey, you want to put a C920 on a Raspberry Pi? That'd be fun. As for DragonCon,
mm-hmm.
In case anybody missed the news, it has officially been digitized, we'll say. Not canceled, yeah. But it's going digital. We have not heard from either the Trek track, where we usually hang out or sometimes do a show. We were lucky enough to do one last year. We have not heard from the, what do we call it, the digital media track?
Right.
It used to be the podcast track, blah, blah, blah. Haven't heard from them either, whether we're committed or not, or have a time slot. So Clinton and Craig and I are doing our own thing on that weekend regardless. We have not set down a time. It's going to be a similar format of combined Comedy Forecast and Technorama. We'll get you more details. We're working on the show plan and who's doing what and what the format is and where
I think the plan was Clinton's going to do it all. We're just going to hang back.
Yeah. He's the retired one, so he's got more time than the rest of us. So knock yourself out, buddy.
That's right.
This is a team effort. We've got another meeting next Monday or something to talk more about it. So, and as it gets closer, we'll go to every week. I mean, we're only, what, about 6 weeks away from that? Well, 7 weeks away from Labor Day weekend. It's coming up.
A month and a half.
The summer is pretty much half over now, kids.
Yeah.
Time is going so fast.
It is crazy. I'm surprised. It feels weird being on. Well, it feels like it's been 2 years this year already, but.
I know. Since we were at DragonCon, doesn't it feel like a long time? And it's going to feel like an eternity till we get back. It's just. It's
well,
nuts.
You know, all the garbage we've been dealing with in 2020 is not helping either.
But yet the time is going so fast. That's what I don't understand. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. I swear I just said to somebody on Monday, is it Friday yet? And then it was Friday. What?
Well, what happened?
Where'd the rest of the days go? I got to be getting some work done here.
My mom told me one time, she had a theory about that. Says as you get older, you develop a better sense concept of time. So time goes by faster. You know, that it used to.
Well, it's also a matter of, you know, a year to you and me is what, about 2% of your age? Whereas a year to a 10-year-old is 10% of their age. It's
the
a lot
happy
longer.
Part of the show.
Oh, you're the one who told his wife on Wednesday. What did you say? If you add both our ages together?
Oh, yeah. I was kidding with my wife. It was her birthday, and I told her now. She's 50, and I told her at the end of the night that, hey, fun fact, if you add our ages together, we're over 100 years old.
And what was her response?
We could have said that last year because I'm a year older than she is.
Nice comeback, Kim.
I know. That's why I keep her around. She's sharp.
All right. We have some question of the week from last week that we'd like to share with you. Our question was, which fictional world would you live in? And we got a response from Melissa Bartel, TNG Era Federation, or Ambre from Melanie Ron's Exile series. Have you read the Exile series, Donna? Okay, shaking her head no. Just checking with my literary expert in studio. JT Shea says Bikini Bottom. He wants to live in SpongeBob's world.
Who wouldn't? Yeah.
No. No.
You wouldn't want to?
No, I'm fine. I'll take a hard pass on that one.
Right.
John Miller Jr. says, the world where there's no hatred, no jealousy, and no rage. A peaceful world filled with love, sincerity, and compassion for all. Sign me up, buddy. That is truly a fictitious world, isn't it? Or a fictional world, should say.
Yeah.
Craig's response is, you mean the Technorama world? Got it.
Yeah.
Well, I hope so.
He's included in here. Yeah, it's fine.
Christina Norris replied, what is this? Is this the Cuscotopia animated GIF?
Do what?
Mike Stockman says, Camelot. I do not want to go that far back in time where people died at the age of 30 of old age. No, I'll pass on that one.
Yeah, there's plagues and all that.
Christina Norris also comes back and says, I'm torn between Asgard and the Mazalan Empire, pending the role I would find myself in. Yeah, there's a huge class divide in some of these old empires as well. Not good, yes. Kids. You know, make sure you're on the elite side, I guess. Even that might not be too good. You get killed by your prefects and whatnot. We also have some other questions over on another page. I mean, other answers to the same question. Gary Lindro says, I thought we were already in one. Geez, I wish it was fictional.
Yeah. No kidding.
Can I always count on Gary for a good snappy comeback? Yeah. Trampas Whiteman says, it's bad fiction. dark fiction.
Dark fiction, yeah.
Trampas says, I'll go with Dragon Lays. Nothing like eating Otix spiced potatoes in the Inn of the Last Home. Take your word for it. Nancy Shine Seimer says, Harry Potter, of course. All right.
That's probably one of the better answers we've had so far.
Sean Brockman says Babylon 5, Middle Earth, and Star Trek. Oh, Shannara, Babylon 5, Middle Earth, and Star Trek. Ooh, he's got a wide spread on there. Put them all together, and what do you get?
I would say Middle Earth. I'd have to stay in the Shire. I wouldn't. I'd be the hobbit that didn't adventure out. That's
you'd be the tallest hobbit there.
I'm not that tall.
You're taller than most hobbits.
Blend in. Yeah,
you're not quite a halfling. You're a three quarterling.
Yeah,
a halfling and a half.
Right.
Jonathan Strickland writes in, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. I'm not even joking. You know, he's got a point.
I'd go there.
He's got a point. Although, you know, the land of make believe probably wouldn't be going there too much, but maybe the occasional weekend visit.
Yeah.
Thank you to everybody who responded. The questions will be up, of course, on Facebook for a while. You're welcome to respond, and we will do our best to make snappy comebacks to that. If you want to get in touch with us via voice or email, you can reach us on the listener line, 707-530-2428, or email us, technorama@chuckchat.com, like Leon did, and we appreciate that very much. We'll have another question for you at the end of the show. Post that on social media next week. And until then, let's play the rollout music so we can go on with the history. Right into the band. On this day in history for July 15th, 2020. What's this doing at the end? And that's the way it was. If I read the script, I'm not sure what happened here.
Wrap it up.
All of a sudden, the band starts marching out real fast. Hey, this is the 197th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 169 days remaining in 2020. It was on this date in 1741 that Alexei Chirikov sighted the land in Southeast Alaska. He sends men ashore on a longboat, making them the first Europeans to visit Alaska.
And it was also on this date in 1799, the Rosetta Stone was found in the Egyptian village of Rosetta.
Thank goodness.
By French Captain Pierre-Francois Bouchard during Napoleon's Egyptian campaign.
What if it was... We wouldn't have Rosetta Stone software if it was found in the country of, like, Amahamanop.
Champagne.
Okay. It was July 15th, 1806. The United States Army Lieutenant Zebulon Pike begins his expedition from Fort Bellefontaine near St. Louis, Missouri, to explore the West. They named Pike's Peak after him.
Also today in 1910, in his book, Clinical Psychiatry, Emil Kraepelin, gives a name to Alzheimer's disease, naming it after his colleague, Alois Alzheimer.
Well, isn't that nice? I'm going to name a disease after you so people remember you. I'll name
sure
mine.
Sure, it was an honor.
I'll name my disease Craig Stepp. It was on that.
You can't pronounce names.
It was on that date in 1916 that in Seattle, Washington, William Boeing, you can kind of tell where this is going, and George Conrad Westervelt incorporated Pacific Aero Products, later renamed Conrad Westervelt. No, it was later renamed Boeing.
Boeing. And 66 years ago today, the first flight of Boeing.
The Conrad Westervelt. We're in an alternate reality.
Yeah. The first flight of the Boeing 367-80, I guess that's how I'm reading it, there's a space in there, prototype for both the Boeing 707 and the C-135 series.
It was 65 years ago that 18 Nobel laureates signed the Maynard Declaration against nuclear weapons. Nuclear weapons.
Whistles.
Later co-signed by 34 others.
That same date in 1975, the Apollo Suez test project.
Suez is down by Egypt.
Soyuz. Test project featured the dual launch of an Apollo spacecraft and the Soyuz spacecraft and the first joint Soviet United States human crew flight. It was both the last launch of the Apollo spacecraft and the Saturn family of rockets.
I remember that. But
is that where they opened the hatch together and
they had a handshake in space? Absolutely. Yeah, that's what it eventually
had. I had a poster of that in his bedroom. I remember
this was the day they were launched. Oh, and if you're missing it, tomorrow is Patrick Stewart's birthday. So look ahead on the Technorama calendar if you want. July 15th, 2003, AOL Time Warner disbands Netscape. Oh, where's the sad trombone? The Mozilla Foundation is established the same day. Well, that sounds like a conspiracy. Like they were shuttling money around, hidden funds or something.
Yeah, this is a shell card. That's a shell game. And it was also on this date in 2006 that Twitter, later one of the largest social media platforms in the world, was launched. I think I started with Twitter that same week or shortly thereafter.
The very next day. Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember... back then, it was like, oh, man, another social platform? Where are all my friends going to gather? This one, that one?
Well, Twitter kind of took off for a while, but yeah.
Yeah, now it's a presidential platform. Going to leave it at that. Leave it there. Happy birthday goes out of the state to Austrian-German mathematician and theorist Wilhelm Wirtinger, born on this date in 1865.
Oops, sorry. I lost my place there. And, Jean-Baptiste Carot.
You were good on the first part, keep going.
Yeah, the French physician and explorer was born 153 years ago today.
Born July 15th, 1906, English-German engineer Rudolf Uhlenhaut.
Uhlenhaut. Sounds like a umlaut. Robert Bruce Merrifield, an American biochemist and academic Nobel Prize laureate, was born 99 years ago today.
American physicist and mathematician, Nobel Prize laureate Leon M. Lederman was born in the state in 1922.
And also turning 90 today is American mathematician and computer scientist Stephen Smalley.
Or Smale. I'm not sure.
Smale.
We'll
Ishmael.
One of those. Smale. Also born on the date in 1915, Greek American journalist and publisher of the Huffington Post, Arianna Huffington. Imagine that. All right, wrap it up.
And Indian theoretical physicist and string theorist, Asoki Sen, born on this date in 1956.
All right, we're going to let the band finish, and we will do the birthdays in a sec, because you don't want to miss the end. Da-da-da. Listener birthdays for this week from July 15th through the 21st include the 18th is Lord Dumicus, and also on the 18th, Nikolai from Dancing with Elephants. I think he's probably 18 at this point, if not older.
I think he's like 36, actually.
Yeah, he was like 4 years old when we started podcasting, so you do the math. I'm getting depressed at how big some of these kids, and they go from like 17 years old to 35 years old in about 4 years. I don't know who's doing this to them, but that's crazy stuff. That seems to be a very rapid acceleration.
Who's doing what to who?
If you want to be on the birthday calendar, you can go over to chuckchat.com/wiki or chuckchat.com/birthday and enter your information in there. We'll give you a shout out at the appropriate time of year. If it's your birthday and we didn't get to it this week, put it on the birthday calendar. Well, happy birthday to you anyway, and we'll get to you next time. So that's the way it was on this day in history for July 15th, 2020. Speaking of endings, I saw a number of people who are looking for a virtual parade for DragonCon, because many of you are aware, DragonCon, Saturday morning's parade, and our group, the Robot Santa, the Futurama group, is the closer, have been since 2014. I think Mark B. Lee said, hey, who's up for a parade? And I said, we are, as long as we get our position as the closer. I'm not sure how any of this is going to work, but I stuck our hand in there. But all right.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out how you would do a parade online.
I don't know. March selfie of yourself going down the street in costume.
Well, it could be one of those montage kind of things, like with a Zoom. You know, you see people, you know, doing their thing, walking through the camera, and somebody.
But there's like 3,800 people in the real parade. If you're doing this one at a time, it's going to take freaking forever. Even if you gave everybody 2 seconds, that's still a long, long parade.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know.
And then you still have the LARPers that are taking too long.
Yeah.
Let's have a battle. Fall down in front of the camera. Mug the camera.
Yay. Yeah, let's do it again. 10 feet from here.
And everybody else is going, move along. Nothing to see here.
Come on. All right. Beat yourselves up.
We do have some news. What was I going to play? We'll do this one.
News and weather, everyone.
Would you like to start us out?
Door in the background.
There's a couple of them in there. Would you like to start us out?
Sure. So, a vintage Super Mario Brothers video game sells for $114,000. That's a good bit of chunk of money there. A bidder who wished to remain anonymous snapped up an early version of the pioneering game released in 1985 for Nintendo's NES console during an auction conducted Friday by Dallas-based Heritage Auctions. An unopened copy of the vintage Super Mario Brothers video game has been sold for $114,000 in auction. That underscored the enduring popularity of the entertainment created decades ago. A bidder who, like I said, wants to remain anonymous, snapped up an early version of the pioneering Super Mario Brothers game released in 1985. Let's see. I'm going to scroll down because I'm kind of repeating myself there. The $114,000 price eclipsed Heritage Auction's previous record amount for a video game, which was $100,150 bid made earlier this year for an unopened copy of this same game. Okay. Super Mario Brothers copy that sold for a record was part of a collection of video games from the 1980s and 90s that sold to various buyers for nearly $700,000 in total, which was well above Heritage's initial target of about $500,000. Other titles included Mike Tyson's Punch Out, a 1970 game about the former heavyweight boxer, of course. And that sold for $50,400.
Wow. So, kids, if you still have any unopened video games out there, which I doubt any of us do, because usually when you get a game, you play it.
Wait. Hold on. One second. Hold on.
He's probably got an unopened copy of E.T.
I do have.
Oh. Put your headphones back on.
I lost myself.
Unopened copy of E.T.? He unplugged it. He walked away. Are we back yet?
Here we go. I do have an unopened copy of Micro Illustrator for the Commodore 64.
Well, it was listed as $26.90 something on the price tag.
Listen. You can hear the disc and stuff.
The cartridge? What is that in there?
No, it's a floppy disc.
Oh, okay.
I guess, yeah, it's floppy. It's a disc-based. It says it right there on the top.
Ooh, okay.
Now, the Commodore had cartridges, but they were... I never really had a lot of cartridges on the Commodore, although it did have a slot.
Have you looked up what the market value is on that?
No, and this one's not for sale. You know, I'll tell you the quick story. My friend Fred, he had borrowed a copy of Micro Illustrator that I had, the only one. And I remember, well, he tells a story. He says I made sure to point out to him, be careful, do not erase this. This is the only copy of this I have. Well, he went to copy it and accidentally overwrote it. So years later, he made up for it and gave me a copy of Micro Illustrator.
After you no longer had a Commodore 64, of course.
Yeah, now I don't have that's right. I got nothing to run it on. So I keep the box in posterity.
Craig, didn't you learn anything? I've got an Apple IIe over here. You got to keep your history, man. You never know when someone's going to drop off an old copy.
You know what? I'm going to go on eBay right now and get me a Commodore.
Now that's probably worth $700,000 itself.
I know, right?
Thank goodness the stock price went up accordingly. Not the stock price in Commodore, the ServiceNow stock price.
The 1541 drive is there's one for $280. Jeez. I'm going to get raked over the coals on this.
How much is your nostalgia really worth, Craig?
To be able to type on that keyboard, I think was awesome, on the 64. I could pay for that.
Donna, do you remember what I paid for that? It was only a couple $100. It was like Todd Tice's brother or something was cleaning it out. It wasn't much. That was early 90s, maybe mid 90s when I picked that up. So 25 years ago, which wasn't long after I finished using one.
This is, here's another one. It's a Commodore 64, but it's not the brown one that, you know, you're familiar with.
Yeah.
It's like the newer, they had like a different style. It was, you know, off-white.
The 128?
On the wrong side. Huh?
The 128?
It's not a 128. No, it says 64 on it. Okay. It could have been from another country. I'm not sure. I haven't seen this one before. Now, the 128, it looks like the 128, but it says... There's a label right there. It says Commodore 64.
The Korean knockoff.
Ooh, they got the monitor with it too.
Ooh. All right, you go browse eBay later. We've got another article.
I'm sorry. We're actually podcasting here.
We've got a podcast to do here.
Yeah.
So thanks to COVID-19, you may not get to take your kids to the planetarium anytime soon. But if they're into astronomy, you're in luck because we should be able to see a comet starting tonight. This was written on...
literally, it's tonight that we're recording
this. The 12th... so it's the 12th of July. So known as Comet C/2020F3, no related to the C64, also known as NEOWISE for science reasons, it's been visible at dawn a few times this month, but we'll be making a switch to dusk this week. Here's how to see it. According to EarthSky... Starting around July 12th to 15th, so that's today if you're listening live, go look. 15th is when we get this podcast dropped on the internet in audio form. The comet will become visible at dusk just after sunset. It will be low in the northwest horizon. If the comet stays somewhat bright, we might be able to see it towards the end of the month during evening dusk and will appear a little brighter in the sky. Use binoculars for a better shot at seeing this, though some people have reported that once you spot the comet with binoculars, you may be able to see it without them when you know where to look. But if you want to see the comet's split tail, binoculars are your best bet. Woohoo! I knew there was one up there because I was looking at my star programs and went, there's a comet up there really in the morning? Huh. Because we were looking at like Mars and Jupiter a few weeks ago and went, I didn't know there was a comet coming. So very cool.
But scroll down just a little bit further.
Mm-hmm.
That's not it. The comet will also be closest to Earth on July 22nd and 23rd. So it'll pass a little closer and they say kind of the same thing. If the comet continues looking great, the viewing the viewing, during the night of the closest approach, which would be later in July, should be nice. Although binoculars might be required for a celestial visitor, it will be visible at the same time, and we see a beautiful crescent, but not bright moon. So,
ooh, good.
There's a good chance that you can see it again. That's why I put it. I started not to put the article in, and I caught that last part, so you really get another chance to watch it, to see it.
Wonderful. It's probably not going to be one of these blazing things you see in the sky without you can just look up and go, there it is. But you're going to have to look for it a little bit.
Yeah, the artist rendition
that's a picture of, I don't know what that is.
Yeah, John Miller Jr. asks, can he order a Comet off Amazon? Yes, but they don't offer, you know, prime delivery for that.
Well, you know, Comet, I use that to clean the sink every morning.
Of course.
Let's soldier on through with a shout out to the chat room. Who do you see other than John Miller Jr., who has been hanging around making smart aleck comments?
I see this one guy that's cosplaying as John Miller Jr. I see John Miller Jr.
Uh-huh.
I see John Miller Jr. too. So, yeah.
John Miller Jr. cosplay. That's our next thing.
Oh, there's Christina Norris.
So, T and I are going through the first review of author review. So, all of our chapters have been sent to the editors, and we're starting to get some of them back now that have been reviewed and they have questions. They flagged the word cosplay. Is that the right word, or do you mean like co-player? Like, no, this is the game. I said, no. It's a portmanteau of costume and playing. And yeah, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, whoa, we don't have the right caliber of editor if they don't know what a cosplayer is. I wonder if they're going to get half the pop culture references we make. So, is what it is. Wonder what they're going to do when they get to the Bugs Bunny section.
Oh, by the way, Christina Norris says 2020 makes her suspicious of comets, which...
Oh, yeah. Harbingers of bad times. Whoa, those people in the old days might have been right. Although, usually you see the comet first. Wait, we had that eclipse 3 years ago. Can we attribute it to that?
Sure.
And there were several lunar eclipses, so yeah, you could stick this on anything.
Amelia Bowen's in there. She chimed in.
And it's an election year, so yeah, put your head in the sand and come back next year. This is the... we do this show on live on Facebook and YouTube on Sunday nights at 9:30 Eastern. We hope you can join us and participate in some of the fun. Amelia, Amy's here. All right. Yep. There she is. Thank you, Amy. Wonderful, wonderful to see everybody out there. Thank you for joining us again. Sunday, 9:30 Eastern, Facebook, YouTube. Join us. Let's do the Be Member When. Over in Remember When, we have, this is a fun one. This is all yours, man. This looks like something I would love to do with a 3D printer.
Oh, yeah. Actually, this is fantastic. An animator built a miniature version of IBM's iconic 1401 computer system from scratch. Take a look.
And it looks real until you see his hand in the picture.
It is very scaled just right. The chair looks fantastic.
He's got the raised floor in the data center.
Yeah, he's got the floor panels. And yeah, even the printer with the paper coming down, you know, like it's been printed on. It looks fantastic. He's got a reel in his fingertips. You know, like
it's about the size of his thumbnail.
Is this the one you're looking for?
The mag tape reel. How many bits per inch is that tape?
So Nicholas Tamiz doesn't work as a modeler full time. He's a technical director at a small animation studio in Montreal, California, where he's based. He spent hours creating a mini version of IBM's successful 1401 computer. The machine celebrated its 60th anniversary last year. It debuted in 1959 and became the first mass-produced computers. It was relatively affordable and sold 12,000 units with standard businesses gravitating to the machine for its ease of use. It was a labor intensive process, according to the Computer History Museum, but some nations used the machine well into the 1980s.
I believe it.
Yeah.
I hope the Computer History Museum gets their hands on this model when he's done with it. I mean, it's got the fanfold green bar paper in there. Yeah. It's a wonderful thing.
I actually was thinking about that when I was starting looking at this. There's probably room to make more of these, to be honest with you. You know, some other ones.
Yep.
And yeah, it belong in the computer history. That'd be great. If you scroll down the last, the last picture, you can even see the punch cards in the cube.
In the card reader. Yeah.
In the card reader. Yeah. That's beautiful. That's fantastic.
The, I'm pretty sure when we were there in 2007, that's what they were working on, was refurbishing the 1401. They had one guy up to his elbows in the punch card reader with the gears and cogs and levers and whatnot.
Oh, well, you know what? Hold on. I can tell you real quick. Two seconds.
You have a picture?
Computer.
He's going to
look at it. Story.
Okay, you do that. I'm going to go on with the next story. When Hollywood finally noticed the web, from CNET.com. What it got right and oh so wrong. Oh, Hackers, of course. Yeah, the movie. Great image on there. How did I not get it? You must have snuck this one out at the end, or I missed it entirely.
What's that?
This story. I don't have any pictures lined up for Donna to flip through. But in 1995, the year CNET was born and Microsoft launched Internet Exploder, Bill Gates decreed the internet's a tidal wave. And that same year, Hollywood unleashed its own tidal wave of movies tackling cyberspace and the dawning information age. It began in May 1995 with the release of Johnny Mnemonic, a delirious sci-fi action dystopia matching Keanu Reeves with seminal cyberpunk author William Gibson. In July, we'll get back to William Gibson in a little bit. In July, Sandra Bullock and her identity erased in conspiracy thriller The Net. In August, Denzel Washington pursued Russell Crowe's computer-generated serial killer Virtuosity. And in September, Angelina Jolie found her breakthrough role in Anarchistic Ventures, Hackers.
And yeah, the epic film.
Documentary. In October... Catherine Bigelow served up dystopian thriller Strange Days. It's hard to know what's most dated about these mid-90s curios. The primitive-looking effects, the funky fashions, or the clunky technology depicted on the screen. But now, 25 years later, they've proved prescient in their concerns about surveillance, corporate power, and the corruption of what seemed to be an exciting democratic new age.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, there were some dandies out there, weren't there?
Yeah, and it's funny, especially, you know, being in the tech field and you hear them use terms, you know, like the writers didn't know
like how to use something. The Unix programmer's manual they threw around. Like,
I think I can hear the IP number coming, you know?
It's as comical as like Star Trek from the 80s is to Dr. Aaron McDonald. Like, really? They just said that? Come on.
Yeah, I know.
But by the same token, it helped influence and inspire. It got people interested in some of that stuff. As cheesy as some of this may have been, people were going, hey, this is something I might want to check out.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I would argue that, movies like they mentioned Tron and stuff like that. The Matrix also did stuff like that. Get your juices going,
Yeah. I rerouted the IP address through the printer port. I'm like, you did what now?
You can kind of do that.
you gotta work real hard. And then, of course, there's always the homemade circuit board that they plug into the keypad to unlock the security one digit at a time.
Oh, like a security door?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Yeah, they had some weird, really weird stuff in here, but if you know me, if you listen to the show at any length of time, you'll know that I have a superpower where I can disconnect my brain sometimes and enjoy a movie anyway.
That's a nice superpower.
Yeah, it's like, oh yeah, I'm there.
Oh, I'm really enjoying it. It's called a bottle of bourbon for you.
Yeah, right.
What did That's you find out about the Computer History Museum, my friend?
Oh, it does look like, well, I think they were working on several different machines when we were in that data center room.
Mm-hmm.
But I do see, it looks like the IBM over in the corner, just like we saw in the diorama.
It was pretty darn close. If it wasn't a 1401, it was one of its cousins.
Well, I think they had several things going on there, because their guy was, well, the guy was working on a punch card reader over here. I'm not sure that everything was related.
That's there was a tape reader going on. And you know who was working on that? Was the actual technicians who used to do the field service on those years earlier. So we were there in 2007, and they said, the only people who know anything about this, these are the guys who worked on them 30 years ago. So that's who was working on them.
Mm-hmm. And there's a nice picture of you talking to the guy, and he had a hat on. And there's your Chuck Chat business card sitting on his keyboard.
And he signed a punch card that had Computer History Museum. That's what they use as their kind of their business cards. I don't know if I still have that one. I'll have to look very, very hard for that. All right, let's move on to our thank you of the patrons, because these are the people that really keep this engine going. As much as it should be in a museum, it's not. Yeah. Thank you to...
We'll never go in a museum.
My favorite part of the show, where we get to read out the names of our patrons enshrined, because they give as little as a dollar a show to keep it going financially and also get some special content that when Craig and I are done with this, we go and record something very special for them, and they get that exclusively, unless there's somebody in like Malaysia posting this somewhere that we don't know about. But I don't think we have any people from Malaysia on our patron board yet. Maybe someday.
I saw one on our listener map.
Okay. Let's go through the names real quick for those that have been gracious enough in their benevolence. Alexis Duran, Elmer Elstad, Amy Bowen. Thank you, Abner Braverman. Thank you, Ben Vaughn and Brian Brown. I just asked him how he was doing the other day. The Browns are doing fine. Chris MC, Dandyman Coyer, Danny Mortensen, former coworker of ours, Dean Jensen, Denise Inglis, Gary Lindros, Harold McKinstry. I'd like to take all of you to Dragon Con, but there ain't no Dragon Con. So in the meantime, we'll continue on. John Clifford, John Noble, Yorga Schrauen, Christina, Kyle Nishioka. I know we've met a number of these people at Dragon Con, including Leon, who wrote in earlier. Mark Kilfoyle, we've met him in person. Mike Wills, Night Gig Studios, Saturday Morning Media, Stephen Wetchy, Steve Therian, Spiffy, Steve Cody, and Steve London. Thank you, everybody. We're at 28 again, which means the four-column board is balanced. We need somebody to join to throw off Craig's OCD again.
Don't let me
out
of column.
Don't let me out of column. We want to make a new row.
Okay. We'll go rows.
Okay. We want a prime number. Get us to 29. See who's going to do that just to throw Craig off. Okay. Yeah. If you want to become a patron, again, patreon.com/technoramapodcast, or you just go to our Technorama page at chuckchat.com/technorama. And we have a Patreon link there as well. So either way, we'll get you there. Thank you. Thank you very much again. Now that we've got our hosting all migrated over, we had a bit of a DNS issue earlier this week.
I know.
It was weird, but we got through it. For whatever reason, we were missing a CNAME for www. And if that means anything to you, congratulations.
And it never fails. I had a salad and sitting in front of me. I just took one bite. Hey, our site's down. I was like,
hey, three of them are down.
Yeah.
It wasn't just chuckchat.com. It was chucktomasi.com. It was podcastingfordummies.com. Well, went, okay.
It's all related. And I'm like, I was literally putting food in my mouth. I was like, okay, let's fix it. We worked it out.
We worked it out. I was on the phone with GoDaddy's technical support, who swears they had nothing to do with it, but we have evidence to the contrary. So,
hell yeah.
Music's over. How about that for timing? Well, that was good. All right. You have something for the remote?
Yes. Pass me the remote, Chuck.
Where'd my remote sound go? There it is. There we go. Sounds like we're about to start the McNeil Lair News Hour with this one.
I know. It's
stock prices are up.
So, I'm probably the last person on the planet to ever see this, but I watched Hamilton.
Oh, I haven't seen it yet, so you're not the last.
All right. So I'm not really big into musicals, per se, but it's been built up, and everybody keeps talking about how great it is.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, okay, I got to see this. And, of course, it was on Disney Plus. So I was like, I have access to it, so let's check it out. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. It's a little long, but
How long is it?
It was like, what, some 2.5 hours, maybe almost
that's
three.
That's what you'd expect, because it is the presentation of the live show. Like, you're actually there, and they do a lot of the camera work from the front row. I saw the ads for it, and I saw a little primer. I think it was on Reuters when they were about to release it on Disney Plus. They were talking about how, and obviously there's no Broadway shows, so we're going to bring you one on Disney Plus, and I think that's great. Mm-hmm. I have seen the ad so many times on Hulu that I'm about to vomit. So there is such a thing as overselling it. So I'm glad you gave that and I think we're in the same boat. Musicals aren't our go-to. They're a nice diversion once in a while. I like them. I'm sure Ben and Keith have seen this a gazillion times. They love opera.
I'll tell you, so like I said, everybody's building it up. I was like, I got to check it out. So I watched it. The music I thought was fantastic. I like their use of, they mixed up the different styles. So there's like some hip hop in there.
Yeah.
You know, that's not period correct, but it's like, no, as Lin-Manuel
Miranda said, they did not have hip hop in Alexander Hamilton's
Well, Lin-Manuel Miranda said that, it's like, it's the story of Alexander Hamilton. If you told it today, that's why he has those different styles in there, and it works. I think it works really well. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. Everybody was very talented. I had Wikipedia pulled up on my phone because they have a breakdown of the different acts. I wanted to make sure I understood what was going on. You know, a couple times I was like, what just happened? And I'd go look and verify. But I did not realize this. And again, maybe I should have looked at it. He not only he wrote it, he wrote the music.
Alexander Hamilton wrote it?
No, Lin-Manuel Miranda did.
Oh, okay.
Who's he wrote, the lead? But he wrote all the music and everything for this. The lyrics, the music, his name's all over it. So I was very impressed that he did that. So, yeah. So Amy hasn't seen it either? Oh, my gosh.
Wow. I don't have Disney Plus, so it's probably going to be a while before I get it.
And from what I understand, if you just get the free trial, I don't think they let you see it.
Of course not.
Yeah, so you have to be a subscriber. But again, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I thought it was well done. So if you haven't seen it and you're interested, go for it.
We do know that Disney is one of our ServiceNow customers.
That's right.
And a number of the support, live chat, that kind of thing is handled by our platform. So that's going really well.
I try to support our customers. Yeah.
Yep, yep. I don't know if that's supposed to be public or not, so shh. I heard a rumor that we'll just
edit
say
this
that.
In post.
Nobody from work listens anyway.
Yeah. Right.
We also have the Geek Library. So we better play the Geek Library.
Yeah, I'll say, where's your music?
Yeah, there we go. Play that theremin. I don't know if he's been called this or not before, but I was thinking Steve Theremin. Isn't he one of our Patreon guys?
Yeah, he's the one that invented the instrument.
Yeah, Beach Boys love it. We have our essential reading list of sci-fi. Some of these I'm going to scroll as fast as I can because it's a very long list.
Yeah, we don't have to read them all.
No,
but there's
many of these are familiar.
Obviously, some big heavy hitters are off the top.
Yeah. Lord of the Rings, Hitchhiker's
Guide to the Galaxy,
Ender's Game. I have yet to read that. I know this is going to sound funny, but let's just go quickly, you and me, of what we've read and what we haven't on some of these. Have you read Ender's Game or listened to
it? I have not read. I read the comic for Ender's Game. Okay.
I know of it.
I've read Hitchhiker's and Lord of the Rings.
Dune?
I read that back in high school a long time ago.
Game of Thrones?
Yep. Nope.
Okay. But you saw it. Did you see any of it?
No, I didn't even watch it.
Oh, I watched everything but the last season, and I read the first two books. But the books, they go deep sometimes. 1984 by George Orwell.
That was probably one of those that was assigned in class.
It was so long ago that I don't remember all of it. I know of it, and I know bits and pieces. Fahrenheit 451.
Steve Jobs came in and slung a hammer.
Right, and the Macintosh was born.
Well, I'm sorry, it was Thor.
Thanks, Danny Hillcrest, for that one.
Yeah.
Fahrenheit 451 by Ray Bradbury.
I did read that. Harrison had the book, and when he was done, he was reading it for school stuff, and I read it after he was done.
Aldous Huxley's Brave New World? Yes, no?
I hadn't seen that one.
Not me either. Orwell's Animal Farm.
Nope.
Asimov's The Foundation Trilogy.
I'm actually reading that now.
Donna's nodding her head. She's read some of these. You're reading Foundation right now?
Reading right now.
Oh, very cool. Yeah. What do you think of it?
So far, I like it. I'm about halfway through, but I'm enjoying it.
William Gibson's
psycho historian part of it.
Okay. William Gibson's Neuromancer.
I started that a long time ago. I have it. It's one of those I started back in high school. And I just never quite finished it.
Oh, wow. High school. That's a little further back than I go. I have it on Audible since about 2007. I started it, but I didn't finish. So I'm going to go back and get it now. See if I can try it again, because I just finished a book and I'm ready for another one. Did you listen to this one, Donna? Okay. It's a cyberpunk Matrix kind of thing. Heinlein's Stranger in a Strange Land?
No, that's on my list of books I need to read.
Me too. Kurt Vonnegut's Slaughterhouse 5.
No.
That sounds like a good title that'll draw you in, right?
Yeah.
Kindred by Octavia E. Butler.
No, this is the first time I've seen that one.
Me too. Some of these are new. Handmaid's Tale. Haven't read that. Mm-hmm. Donna has and watched all the show. 2001 Space Odyssey by Arthur C. Clarke.
Well, obviously I've seen the movie. I didn't read the book.
Okay. Yeah. Yep.
Oh, by the way, Christina Norris says the Game of Thrones books were great.
That's what I've heard.
She said, oh, sorry. Yep. So great. That's what she said. So wow. Great. She elevated it.
Hunger Games?
No, I didn't read
Hunger Movies,
Games.
Yes.
I saw the movies.
Movies, yes. Book, no. Ready Player One by Ernest Cline.
Movie and book, yes. And I enjoyed them both.
Yep. Although I think the book was better.
Oh, absolutely. The book was better. The movie, in some ways, you know what, to be honest with you, I enjoyed it, but after it was over, it's kind of forgettable.
Really? The movie?
I just didn't. I mean, it was okay. I enjoyed it while I watched it, but it's not like, and I own it. Every once in a while, I'll pull it up, but, and I love seeing stuff like the Iron Giant, you know, doing, you know, and interacting the world and, the DeLorean, all that kind of stuff. It was a great looking movie. It's just,
they couldn't do it justice.
Yeah.
They couldn't do the book justice, as is often the case.
Oh, by the way.
Yeah.
Ready Player Two is coming out this week. The sequel book.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. I think it's this week. Yeah. If it's not out already.
Well, he can only write two books because games back then only had two players.
Gauntlet.
There are some classics in here. Time Machine by H.G. Wells, 2000 Leagues Under the Sea by Jules Verne, good stuff. War of the Worlds by H.G. Wells. So I encourage you to look.
Oh, I did read iRobot. I read Robot, that before.
Is in there, scrolling. They have Wrinkle in Time is in there. So a lot of titles you'll recognize, but if you're looking to, you know, fill in your library of where you might have gaps, certainly. There are, wait a minute, did the numbering system go crazy in here?
And by the way, Amy Bowen, I keep trying to read her name. Amy says, they are replying to Christina Norris about how good they are. I'm about halfway through book 5, A Dance with Dragons. Been listening via Audible, and as Danny Hillcrest would say, I love it.
Okay.
I love it.
There are 26 in their list, and then they get into about 5 of them in the editor's choice. So take a look at the list. We leave it on our show notes for episode 607 over at Technorama, chuckchat.com/Technorama. All right. That brings us to the end, right as an ad pops up on my screen.
Hey, if you got a book that you liked and obviously wasn't on one of the ones, just let us know.
Yeah, absolutely. Give us a call. Look at that. Donna's already way ahead of us on the subtitles down there on the lower thirds. 707-530-2428. You don't have to do a big book review like in high school. This is a real quick one going, here's a title, I liked it, or here's a title, stay away from it. Technorama@chuckchat.com if you want to type rather than speak. That's fine too, because some of us are a little more articulate when we have time to think about the words that flow on the paper.
Hey,
as it were.
I've also got a question for everybody. If you listen to this, do you ever have a book that you go back and read again?
Rarely.
I do Hitchhiker's Guide. I go back and read Hitchhiker's Guide, and sometimes I'll go back and read The Hobbit.
Yeah. Yeah. The big ones like that, probably right up there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, good question for the viewers and listeners as well. Let us know.
All right.
Our question of the week, as we're starting to wind down, question this week is, what is your favorite movie car?
Movie car.
You know, like the automotive variety that show up. I mean, I'm sure we'll get somebody who'll say the DeLorean from Back to the Future.
Well, my first thought was the Batmobile, but that's some TV.
There were like 8 different Batmobiles in the movies.
No, the one in my head, I'm thinking of the 66 Batmobile.
That's fine, too.
Okay.
If it's from TV and you want to say Kit from Knight Rider, be my guest. TV.
Well, wait a minute. Both those cars were in Ready Player One, so that was in a movie. There you go. All those cars. Yeah. Even the A-Team.
TV cars welcome also. We're not going to discriminate. Yeah. There. Updated the question. So let us know. 707-530-2428 is the number you call, or technorama@chuckchat.com. We'd love to hear from you. Our Patreon topic, in case you are wondering, should I become a Patreon member or not? We'll give you a little taste of what we're going to be talking about right after we finish recording this. What software tools do we use? Didn't we talk about this before? Or was that just plugins?
Plugins. We'll talk about it again.
All right. Maybe it's changed since the last time we talked about it a couple months ago. Who knows?
Could be. Yeah, could be.
That's where we start the discussion, but it often meanders into something else, much like this show. So it's open format, low production quality. Well, that's starting to sound a lot like this show. Yeah. Now, we don't inject a whole lot of sound effects and whatnot into that one. So thank you, everybody. Thank you, everybody, who is a patron and supporting this show. And we hope that someday you will consider your generosity as well. And appreciate it very much. Until then, we are going to hightail it on out of here with the closing theme. There it is. All right. Brings us to the end of the show. We appreciate your support very much. If you want to get in touch with us again, I'm going to say it one more time. I feel like one of those lawyer commercials. At 707-530-2428 for all your legal needs on Technorama.
Whoa, no.
All your internet legal needs. If you want to route your IP address through the printer port, you know what number to call.
I can hear the IP coming now.
Oh, yes, I heard the footprints. Just send another print job. I'm sure it'll clear things right up. Get in touch with us. We'd love to hear from you. Be safe. Be kind. And vote this
Just
fall,
be.
Please. Until Just then, be. Craig, give him a binary high five.
All right. 101, everybody.
Thanks,
Thank
everybody.
You.
Bye.
Yep.